Once again, you're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm still William Cooper. Do your stuff, Felicia. Thank you. That was Alicia Story, accompanied on guitar by her father, Paul, who you may remember from the record American Pride, which we played many times on this broadcast and will indeed play again as soon as I find it. Moving the studio, it got lost, but it's around here somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a small child and a tape recorder and you can produce a good quality tape of your child saying the Pledge of Allegiance, your child too can accompany Pooh in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pooh didn't feel like doing it tonight. I don't know why, but she said she didn't want to. Just make the recording and send it in to us. You know, I think it makes those young children feel pretty good to hear themselves on the radio. And it makes me and everybody else feel pretty good when they can say the Pledge of Allegiance or anything else of a patriotic nature that's not being taught to children these days. So if you want to do that, I'll be happy to play the tape at the beginning of the broadcast. Now, if we get a big flood of tapes, don't get angry if you don't hear your child's tape right away, because they'll be lined up. And whenever I make an announcement like this, I usually do get a big flood of stuff. So don't be disappointed if you don't hear it right away. Now, I have a couple of things I've got to cover here. As I said when I began the broadcast on Monday night was done all in my own words, working through things that I had thought out and discussed with some of the command staff officers and, of course, the commanding general over the period of my illness to relay to the American people. One of our staff officers took that information and put it in written form and did an admirable job. And those of you who listened to that statement on Tuesday and Wednesday night would probably agree with me. But as usual, there are some lunatics out there, some idiots, if you will. Let me acquaint you with how things work. Any communication written by any member of the Second Continental Army of the Republic in official capacity belongs to the Second Continental Army of the Republic and not ever to the individual, including anything that I do. That's the way we run our organization, like it or not. And if you're not a member of our organization, frankly, my dear Scarlett, we really don't give a damn whether you like it or not. At all. Most of the information that is disseminated through the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic and to the units of the Army itself are written by anonymous staff officers or personnel assigned to jobs to do that sort of thing, and usually appears above the signature of the commanding general. Sometimes it will appear above my signature. Sometimes it will appear with no signature attached whatsoever as an official communication or as a general order issued by the Army. That's the way all organizations work, believe it or not. We're not here to write pretty little statements and give out credit to everybody and pat each other on the back. We're trying to save a nation. One of the wackos in Oklahoma named Ross Hulett, or Hewlett, who has appointed himself to be the head of the state militia of the state of Oklahoma, which is against all policy of any militia anywhere. You're either appointed by the governor of the state or you are elected to your position. Whether you know it or not, Mr. Hulett, you don't appoint yourself, which you seem to have done. Mr. Hulett is in love with the disinformation that flows out of the militia of Montana and for some reason likes to perpetuate that disinformation. Recently, he assured one of my officers that he had information about a person who had gone to Arkansas and was holed up on top of a mountain waiting for Armageddon with an arsenal of weapons, and anybody that walked near him was going to get blown away. And he had it straight from an impeccable source. An impeccable source. Unimpeachable source. So, since he put it that way, we began to investigate, thinking there might be something to it. But as usual, we never believe anything unless we can prove it. And found out that his so-called impeccable, impeachable force was the militia of Montana, and they were full of crap. More bullshit. And Ross Hulett was full of crap. Total bullshit. As usual, most of the things we've heard from him have been total bullshit. And now he has taken the last few broadcasts that we have done, and this man is sending messages throughout the Patriot Militia Network not to pay any attention to our policy state from the Second Continental Army of the Republic, and of course no unit that belongs to the Second Continental Army of the Republic is paying any attention to it, because they're in a command structure and our people do obey orders. Our people are not wackos. Our people do what they should according to the policy that is given to them. That's why you do not see anyone from the Second Continental Army of the Republic sitting on the Donahue Show making a fool out of himself or herself, as the case may be, because we have some pretty high-ranking women in our organization. And maybe that's Mr. Hulett's problem. In fact, it could very well be Mr. Hulett's problem. There's some men that just cannot accept the fact that women can do a job as good or better than they. Mr. Hulett is sending out through the Patriot and the Militia Network that the policy statement I read over the air, I claimed to have written myself, and in fact stole it from someone else. And Mr. Hulett, you are a barefaced, unmitigated liar. And you know it. And for all of those of you out there who think that it makes any difference whether or not I read it as if it were mine or gave credit to someone else, it makes no difference. It is the official policy statement of the command staff of the Second Continental Army of the Republic, and it bears the signature of the commanding general, not my signature. It was written by a command staff officer. Several changes were made to the original document written by that command staff officer, by myself and by other officers on the command staff, and I believe there were one or two changes that were penned in by the commanding general. And so that you'll know the truth of the matter, as if it makes any difference. But since some of you are so stupid you think that something like this does make some difference, then I do have to do this. Although I hate to waste the airtime on people who think they're awake and think they're participating in militia activities and doing the right thing, when in fact they're nothing but stupid sheeple like the rest of the herd animals. On Tuesday night, this is exactly what I said on the air before reading that statement. And Mr. Hullett, you'd better listen very carefully, although I know that you already know this. Quote, I am going to read to you now a prepared statement prepared by an officer of the staff of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. This will be placed in a form and disseminated to the station chiefs of the intelligence service of the different regions of the country to be placed in the hands of the commanders of the different militia units. If I don't finish it tonight, I will finish it tomorrow night. It is approximately 9 pages in length. It was not intended to be a policy statement, but it was so good that it was submitted by fax to the commanding general today, who affixed his signature, and this is now the policy of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. End quote. End of matter. End of subject, and I hope it is the end of your stupidity, those of you who like to run around and try and bite your own tail. Mr. Hullett, you have been discredited. You are a piss-poor leader. And I hope the people in the state of Oklahoma do something about it. And I hope they learn that if the commander or the officers of the militia are not appointed by the governor of a state, they must be elected by the members of the militia, not self-appointed, as you seem to be. And you're so full of crap and disinformation that if they continue to carry you as their commanding officer, they will be cut out of the loop of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. Now, I hope you understand that. We have put up with your crap for a long time. We have watched and hoped that you would mature in your leadership, and it appears that that's not going to happen. And therefore, you have made a serious mistake in attempting to discredit an official policy statement of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. You have treaded upon toes, and you will regret that. I can assure you that our leadership is better than anything that you can imagine, and our network of officers and enlisted personnel throughout this country is far greater than you can imagine. In fact, if there ever comes a final conflict for our freedoms in this country, it will be the command staff of the Second Continental Army of the Republic that leads the nation into battle.
Every inch of you. If you want to drown, look sand. Or if you want to take me for a ride, well, you know you can. Oh, man. Yeah, the moon's too bright and the chain, too tight and the beast won't go to sleep. I've been running through all these promises to you that I made that I could not keep. I put a man never got a woman back, not by taking on you. But I crawl to you, baby, and I fall at your feet, and I howl at your feet, you like a dog in heat, and I claw at your heart, and I tear at your sheet, I say, please. No, no, man.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take your calls and talk about what you've been hearing for the last three nights. And I want to keep it to that. I know I received one fax today that said, gee, you paint the picture so hopeless that we ought to put the gun to our own head and just pull the trigger. And I'm here to say that if you're as whacked out that you really feel that way, then don't let me stop you. I don't have time to play with wimps or idiots. Our stupidity, I don't have time to deal with all of the stuff that we had time to deal with 20 years ago. I can't go to cocktail parties anymore, ladies and gentlemen, because I can't stand the conversation that goes on there. I can't stand the stupidity. I can't talk just about the weather. I hope you can all understand that. I painted a pretty rosy picture. Ladies and gentlemen, I laid it on the line. I gave you the reality of the situation, and I told you what we can do about it. I told you that power, all power, emanates from the barrel of a gun. A disarmed people has no power, no political will, no influence. I told you to join militias, buy a weapon, practice with it, become proficient, begin to work on the local, county, and state level with your militias and your patriot and political organizations to begin to exercise your power. I informed you that you need to get in front of the media, in the newspapers, on the television, on the radio. If there are radio talk shows in your area, several of you should be calling that radio talk show every day, but only those who are appointed by your leadership should be doing it. They should be intelligent. They should be extremely literate. They should be able to voice your principles and ideals and your policies to the American public. And in doing so, should be able to educate the American public. They should be leaders. They should not be intimidated by anyone, ever, and should be able to present a valid, legitimate, good argument to any opposition that is presented. I told you that all throughout the history of the world, it has been less than 5% of any given population. Most of the time, it's truthfully been less than 3. And in some instances throughout history, in fact, many instances, it has been one man or one woman that has changed the entire course of history, and that should give you great hope. For most of the people will do nothing. Nothing against us and nothing for us. They will be the flotsam and jetsam upon the great tides of history, like they have been all throughout the history of the world, and they will be at the mercy of whatever happens around them. If you're intelligent, you don't want to be caught up in that. The number is 520-333-4578. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. This is John from Houston. I was wondering, a few weeks ago, I sent you a couple of those editorials that I wrote, and one of them I aired on the local TV station. Did you get those?
Well, it's like I tell you guys all the time. I get thousands of pieces of mail.
You were on the local talk show here.
Every week. And if you can sort of tell me, I read everything. So if you can sort of tell me what it was about, I'll either remember it or not.
This was about Slick Willie ordering our troops to Bosnia.
Yes, I got it.
Okay, good. I wanted to also commend you, you know, for a good series that you've been doing up here, and I'm glad that you're feeling a heck of a lot better than you were before. I'm just kind of suspicious of this bug. Hell, I've had the damn thing for over 3 weeks, and I'm just now getting over it myself. It seems like everybody I know has gotten this damn thing. What was funny, I called a local talk show here last week when Kay Bailey Hutchison, one of our two senators from Texas, was on there, and she was in a backdoor kind of way going after Michael New, that, well, she agreed with him not wanting to serve under UN command, but then again, we should leave it up to the Congress to adjust that type of legislation and everything. And I called in. Unfortunately, I couldn't get in when she was still on the air, but I told Mike Richards, the local talk show host, I said, if we wait for the Congress to make those adjustments, we'll be waiting another 50 years. And I said, by the way, and I reiterated to him and to his listeners, that Michael New swore to preserve, protect, and defend the United States Constitution, not the UN Charter or the NATO Charter.
That's right.
And that he took an oath to obey all lawful orders and not just all orders.
That's right.
That the blind obedience was something reserved for Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia, not the United States. And then I pointed out he had also talked about this fellow Rubin, the Treasury Secretary, and how he was doing all of these things like raiding the federal pensions to pay for Slick Willie's little forays, you might say, his adventurism. And I said, well, you know, what do you expect? I said, he's not accountable to the U.S. I said, as a matter of fact, he draws his paycheck from the World Bank. So I said, why would he be accountable to us? Well, he all of a sudden went into a panic. Well, I need to have some kind of documentation. You know, where do you get that? I said, oh, I can get it. I can get you the documentation. I've got a friend of mine who's got a shortwave talk show. His name is William Cooper. And I said, he's got all kinds of information about that. Well, then all of a sudden, he had to go in a real hurry.
Yeah, I bet he did. All you have to do is call the Federal Reserve. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
They'll tell you themselves that it is a privately owned corporation and that none of them are paid by the United States government.
Yeah, now let me add one thing. You know, you had the series, remember, about the German submarines and things like that a few weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the reason why the German submarine was able to make such a long voyage, and I'm an ex-submariner, too, from the Vietnam era. I was on a Greenfish, a diesel boat, SS-351, out of Pearl Harbor.
I was on the Tyroo. I remember the Greenfish.
16.
Pardon?
The Tyroo was 416.
That's right.
Right, she was made at Mare Island,
mm-hmm.
and the Greenfish was made by electric boat up in Groton, Connecticut.
Yep.
And the reason why the Germans were able to do all that stuff, of course, they developed a snorkel back during World War II, and we didn't apply it to our boats until the Tang class came out during the Korean War. Now, the Tang SS-562 was commissioned on October 25th of 1951, and that was the first American boat to actually come out with a snorkel. Now, later boats like the Tyroo and, of course, the Greenfish and others that underwent Fram and Guppy remodernization programs did.
Yeah. You're the only one I've ever met besides those who served with me on the Tyroo that understood the Guppy configuration. We were a Guppy 3A.
Yeah, we were a Fram Guppy 3. We had the three puffs and all that other stuff and the bow modifications and the sail plane modifications and all that good stuff. It was a great boat until Nixon gave it to, I think it was Brazil, so they could seize more American tuna boats with it back in 73, but I was on it back in 67. And anyway, the Germans had the snorkel and were able to operate fairly well submerged using the snorkel for long periods of time, of course, to suck in all the air they needed for their diesels and the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't adopt it until the Tang came out in October 25th of 1951. But the Germans, of course, the reason why they got whipped there was because they lacked, from what I understand, they lacked radar and sonar on their boats during the war. But their boats, of course, did have, from what I've seen in some reports, they did have a much greater test depth and crush depth than ours, that some of their boats in the Battle of the Atlantic, when they had to really go deep because they were being depth charged, that some of their boats actually survived down at about 1,000 feet, which was unheard of for World War II era boats.
Yeah, those are incredible depths for those.
Fantastic boats. The Germans knew how to build them, and now the boats that they have now, although they're a lot smaller, they're made out of some kind of a special alloy, according to Jane's fighting ships, that renders them non-metallic, non-magnetic. It's a non-magnetic type of alloy.
Hmm.
So they're not going to be easily attracted to magnetic mines. Yeah.
Well, I thank you for that. It's like old home week, but I've got to let you go so that we can get some other calls in here.
Phil, have a great evening, and I hope you and your family have a great year this year.
Thank you very much. I hope we all have a great year, but I don't think it's going to be a great year.
Well, we can wish.
Yeah. Never give up hope. Never give up your dreams. Never give up wishing. But always, always deal with reality. Good evening. You're on the air.
Happy New Year, Bill. Gary from Connecticut. I hope you're not violating doctor's orders too much. I remember when I had pneumonia, I was a kid, and I felt fantastic after being sick for about a week and a half, and my parents literally had to lock me in my bedroom to keep me, you know, under wraps. Otherwise, you're just going to get sicker.
Yeah, well, I was sick for about three weeks and held off going to the doctor as long as I could because I hate doctors. I don't hate them personally. I just medical thing.
But, with you know, there's a part of pneumonia where you feel really good, but you're still sick.
Well, I didn't feel very good. I could barely breathe.
Easy out there. I heard your message of the Second Continental Army command staff, and, you know, I mean, I knew it was their message with your embellishment, and I don't know, you know, how this guy got confused.
He didn't get confused. He deliberately set out to attempt to discredit the Second Continental Army of the Republic. I don't think he really understands that he can't.
So we can't, you know, we can't waste any time with these people. I fell into listening to shortwave quite by accident. I listened to your first broadcast, and that's all it took for me, and I think that's how it happens with most people. The people, they hear it and it just rings like a bell and that's it. Otherwise, they're never going to wake up. I have the Zapruder tape. I show it to people. And the ones, I mean, it's obvious what goes on. They either believe it or they don't believe it. And that's all you can do.
Well, it's a shame it has to be that way because it's not a matter of believing or not believing. It's a matter of being responsible and checking the sources of the information to find out whether or not it's true. And once you've done that, then you cannot reject it.
Absolutely. But another thing that really bugs me, don't ever, if you sell these FM radios and these great books and all, don't ever apologize. You should be making money on this stuff. You've got a wife and kids and all this stuff, and you're probably living, you know, below your means.
Oh, I wasn't aware that I had ever apologized.
You know, for making money on anything.
Oh, I have never done that. I believe in the American way. The American way is you should be paid.
Our country. It's just ridiculous. I'll let some other callers get on.
Okay.
And, Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to all the patriots out there. And I just hope, who knows? Who knows, you know, your outlook. The last couple nights, seemed bleak to a lot of people and to me, but who knows what's going to happen. God bless you. Good night.
Thank you. I didn't think it seemed bleak. There was some bad news and there was some good news. And I popped some bubbles and I acquainted people with reality. But if you think that that's bleak, you haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get much, much worse before it ever gets better. And those of you who have never fought in a war, you better pray and hope that it never comes to that, because you have no conception of how bad it can get. My whole effort from the very beginning has been to prevent bloodshed, to prevent any kind of thing like that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm much better than I have been. Thank you.
Oh, good. This is Michael, and I'm calling you from Oklahoma.
Great.
I'd like to comment on what you had to say, if I may.
Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to defend Ross, but so far. And when I say I want to defend Ross, I'd like it to be said that what you are talking about, Ross never has been. It's just never been in his makeup.
Never has been what?
To be, to really run a militia as defined, as for all intents and purposes, what it stands for as far as organizational structure, the requirement. Ross has never really understood that.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but Ross, it doesn't mean that Ross is a bad person. Ross has good intentions. He has done his best to educate as many people as he can. He, like a lot of others, has put a lot of money into it and has suffered financially because of it. So even though he may have the weakness in that one area, he still has done his part.
He has another weakness, and it's a bad weakness, and it's a weakness that permeates a lot of patriot militia organizations, and I'm sure that they all have good intentions, but they have not learned yet that information is nothing but words on paper until it is checked and verified and re-verified. It means absolutely nothing, and these people are taking this... network, it is suddenly fact, and 99.9% of it is total bullshit lies, and that's the truth of it. And 99% of everything that has ever come out of the militia of Montana has been total bullshit.
But see, you have the advantage going for you of prior military. Because of that, you have an understanding of how these things work. And what I'm trying to say about Ross has never been really in that position. Therefore, he's trying to do it when he really doesn't grasp the concept.
Well, then he has to either learn how to grasp it and mature, which we've tried in many occasions to do.
Well, in that respect, that's where I wanted to kind of disagree with him. In that respect, there have been a lot of us, and myself being one, who have, I won't say really battled, but have come to a disagreement in that respect. But it doesn't mean that within the state of Oklahoma that there aren't those of us who do understand what militia means, who are willing to commit ourselves to training, to learning, to getting educated, to all of those aspects of it to the best of our ability. Ross has not provided that organizational structure to meet those needs. In that respect, he has fallen short. But it doesn't mean that there aren't those of us out there who aren't doing our best, knowing full well, as much as we don't like to think about it, that there may yet come a day and time in our lives where once again we may have to take up arms in defense of our country.
Yes, you're correct, and we're fully aware of that. And we know that there are many good people in Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
But you people are going to have to get hold of your pants, and you're either going to have to help Ross become a leader, or you're going to have to get a leader. And if that doesn't happen, then the Second Continental Army of the Republic will get a leader for you.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that, as long as you don't forget us.
No, we'll never forget you.
Because
we can't afford to forget you. We can't forget anyone.
Please don't. We may be small, but we're still out there, and we still care.
You're not that small. My brother lives in the state of Oklahoma. My brother got the Silver Star in Vietnam.
I thought about stopping by and visiting with him when I was passing through, but quite honestly, no disrespect intended. I just wanted to get home.
Well, I don't blame you for that.
Thanks. Good night and God bless.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling, and thank you for saying some good things about Ross. You know, what I said earlier in this broadcast was intended to be about those subjects that I discussed. I don't believe that Ross is a bad man or that he had bad intentions at all, and didn't mean to imply that. But we cannot afford to play around anymore. And when Ross Hullett believes that he's going to take on the Second Continental Army of the Republic and attempt to try to discredit the Second Continental Army of the Republic or a policy statement that it has issued for any reason whatsoever. He has chosen the wrong course to follow. And when he disseminates disinformation, he is hurting all of our efforts. If he's going to continue to be a leader of the militia of Oklahoma, he has to swallow his pride, and he has to stop doing those things and become a real leader, a real officer. Otherwise, somebody else has to do the job for him. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. I'd like to...
Hold it. Turn your radio off right now.
I would like to ask Bill's opinion of Harry Brown, the Libertarian candidate, and also to get his definition of a reactionary. That's all.
Oh, very simple. The Libertarian Party, I met with the leaders, some of the leaders of the Libertarian Party in Kansas City, and found out quite a few things that I wasn't aware of until I talked to these people. First, the Libertarian leadership can't do anything. Cannot do anything. In fact, they're not even a leadership. Everything that the Libertarian Party does is decided at their convention by the membership as a whole. The leaders of the party literally have their hands tied, can't do anything. I have quite a few disagreements with the Libertarian Party. It sounds good, but they were originally formed in order to try to legalize pot, marijuana. Over the years, they've grown in membership, they've expanded their platform, but they don't believe in borders. They believe in NAFTA and GATT, those types of things. They believe that anybody should be able to enter and leave the country anytime they want. So I can't support any Libertarian just simply based upon those portions of their platform at all, under any circumstances, ever. And I guess that should be that, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. And most of you know that they deal in hard assets, real money, what we need in order to make our purchases legitimate. Those of you who really think you own your home, look at what you have. You may have paid it off, but you don't have a patent allodial title. Get a copy of Black's Law Dictionary and look up deed, look up warrant deed, look up warranty deed. For those of you who own cars and have a certificate of title, look up what a certificate of title really means. The truth is all of that is pledged toward the national debt. It is owned literally by the creditors against the nation. It is not owned by you, never was, never will be. You are just renting it, taking care of it, so to speak, for the true owners, who, when they decide to take it back, won't hesitate, not for a second. So if you'd like to get your hands on some real money, call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. You know, there is a way you can really own your house. You really can get a patent allodial title to your land and to your home. But according to the law, you must pay for it in real money, and you must do several other things. And the real money must consist of over $20. And there's many reasons for that. I'm not going to go into it here. Your car, everything else, unless you have performed the proper procedure and paid for it in real money and filed the proper documents, you don't own anything that you think you own at all. That's why you pay property tax on your home. If you really owned it, they could not tax it. It is, in truth, a rental payment. Call 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Tell them you're a steady listener to the Hour of the Time. Call Frank. He knows about this stuff. He's almost as good at it as I am. And what he's not good at, he knows where to direct you to get good at it. 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. Start getting your affairs in order. And do it now. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Okay. I'm Tom, and I'm calling from Ohio.
Oh, Tom, before you start, that I just remembered. He asked me another question. What is a reactionary? A reactionary is someone who hears something or reads something and reacts to it immediately without taking any pains to discover its validity or its truthfulness or any of those things that a responsible person will really do. It's someone who hears the militia of Montana issue an alert that the National Guard and the FBI has invaded Catron County and is arresting patriots by the hundreds, and they begin to gear up and they start their cars and head for Catron County, New Mexico. And this is no baloney. It really happened, ladies and gentlemen, when about 12 members of the National Guard and two FBI agents went to Catron County on the information provided by an informant that a DEA agent had been killed and buried in the mountains in Catron County, and they were there looking for the dead body. That's what a reactionary is. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. I wanted to touch on a couple of subjects that you had spoke of last night when you brought up the various publications and individuals that deal in misinformation and propaganda, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Goebbels would be proud of Soldier of Fortune, that's for damn sure.
You better believe that.
The one thing that I was concerned with, and I've been a patriot probably ever since as long as I can remember, and I'm relatively young, but have always had a healthy respect for our country and our Constitution and the things that made this country great. I am concerned, as well as myself and some of my friends that desire to be prepared. I have a question, and I don't know if you can elaborate on it, would be that of Mark Kornke. I would tell you what I think, but I was wondering what you thought about it.
I can tell you what I know. I don't ever tell people too much about what I think. I tell you what I know.
Okay.
What I know is back in 1989, or I believe it was 1990, actually, Mark Kornke contacted my good friend and at that time a man who was a partner with me helping to do what it is that I do, Stan Barrington, and told him that he was an active duty Air Force officer attached to the Air Force Office of Special Investigation, which is Air Force Intelligence, and that he had information that he wanted to feed to us and began sending us some of the stuff that he's since, you know, put in tapes and stuff like that all over the place. As I always do, I told Stan to inform him that we needed documentation as to who he was and where his information came from, because we don't accept anything without that. I mean, we'll take it, but we won't believe a word of it, and we won't act upon it until we can verify it. He said, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll give you documentation, and he never gave us a thing. He has since promised that to many, many people, and in each and every instance, he has never documented anything ever. Not himself, not his history, nothing, period. He contacted us later after we didn't hear from him for about 6 months. He contacted us again later, and I talked to him and asked again for documentation. Again, he said, no problem, I'll furnish it. We never heard from him again until he emerged as this great patriot, Mark from Michigan, who now claims he was never an Air Force officer of Special Investigations, but was an Army G2 intelligence
officer. Yeah, that's what I had heard, that he was Army G2 intelligence, but I had also heard, and I cannot document this. This is just strictly hearsay, and I do not normally deal in hearsay, but this is interesting. I had been told by a numerous amount of people that he is a profession is a custodian or custodial engineer. For those of you who aren't well versed in that, that's a janitor.
That's correct. You're absolutely right.
But, well, let me ask you a question. If someone had the experience of military intelligence, don't you think that they could find a better job than a high school janitor? I would. that's what
military intelligence sometimes is an oxymoron, and
just like criminal justice and military justice and things.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that. Some people do very well in the military, which is really a socialist organization.
Right.
People who have spent their entire life in the military have been indoctrinated into socialism. That's why it's very easy for the officer corps to betray us with this New World Order thing.
Right.
And some people get along very well under a socialist-type organization, but when they have to come out and deal in the American Dream-type organization, they don't do so well. So that's not really an indication.
Right. You know, some of the things that, and some of the tapes that I have seen of his, and his, I don't know if he got his information from the clowns in Montana, but speaking of, there's 20,000 troops up in northern Montana, and et cetera, et cetera, and some of the...
A lot of the stuff that Mark Kornke puts out is total bullshit.
Exactly.
And,
well,
and
I don't
people
know if
don't check it.
Had the opportunity to see, or he made a tape on tactical field gear, and I'm here to tell you what. When I get it done, I'm going to send you a copy. That there are some of us that are putting together a tape similar to that, but I have the benefit of experience of 4 years of active duty infantryman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm telling you, I witnessed this videotape, and I said to myself and I said to my partners, I said, you know what? I think he's trying to get somebody killed with some of this information. I mean, it was that bad, okay? I mean, there were some things that were right on that you could probably obtain from a military manual, but then again, there were some things in there that scared me, that absolutely scared me, because I could picture myself doing what he said and finding myself in a tactical situation and being totally wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is crazy, and I got together with my buddies, and we're planning on making a video. And I said, hey, it's worth a shot. At least let's get some good information out there. I mean, there's so...
Yeah, there's a lot of people doing those things. The spike training thing, where Greitz teaches you to fight in very close quarters and even teaches people to knife fight.
Huh.
And the best troops in the world that we're going to be facing, if it ever comes to a fight, are trained to be most effective within 200 yards.
Right.
And what the Second Continental Army of the Republic teaches its people and anyone who wants to listen is that you must be extremely effective beyond 200 yards, because if you get into the point where they're the experts, you're history.
Right. I wanted to get some information regarding the Second Continental Army of the Republic. And also, I am not a member, and myself nor my friends are a member of the Ohio Unorganized Militia, because of... some of the people that we have run into that are more or less representative of that organization, as I said before with Mark, it's scary. It's absolutely scary.
It's scary with a lot of these people, especially the ones you see on television and the ones sitting before Congress. They are not really the leadership, nor do they represent the majority of the real militia that will really take part in saving this country if push comes to shove. These are the clowns. These are the people who thrive on publicity and being on the Donahue Show and all this other kind of stuff. They are very poor leaders, and anyone who's ever been a leader in any kind of a military environment or organization or has participated in any war can cut these clowns out real quick.
Right, and just remember, here's one thing that I throw Mark and the Montana militia in the same category. They are patriots, P-A-Y-T-R-I-O-T-S.
Well, I wouldn't do that. This is America. If someone does work, no matter what that work is, they deserve to be paid for it.
Oh, I don't argue with that at all. But at the same time, when you make money off misinformation, you know.
Well, that's the old caveat. Caveat emptor, remember?
Yes. Can I get some? Is there a number to contact or some information, some more information on the Second Continental Army of the Republic? Because I would also like to obtain a copy of that statement that you read over the last two evenings. I thought it was perfect.
Well, that will be disseminated through the station chiefs to the militia. I haven't made any. I'll see what I can do about making it available through here. The only thing that I'm authorized to do in behalf of the Second Continental Army of the Republic is I speak in its behalf when a statement must be made to the public, and I can recruit, train, and utilize members for the intelligence service, for the operational commands and combat commands and the other support commands. Those are administered by the officers in command of those organizations, and it's by invitation only.
Right.
And I cannot...
The militia contacts that we have here in our neck of the woods are some that we wish to not associate ourselves with due to recklessness and a large array of misinformation that they like to spew. Like, for instance, just to give you a small example, there was one man who was the militia commander in one of the counties here locally, and he made the statement to me that, I saw one of those, I saw a Russian helicopter fly over my house. And I asked him, well, how did you know it was Russian? Well, I went to the library and tried to get out a book on aircraft identification, and all the books were out. Like, there's a conspiracy that all the books were out of the library about aircraft identification.
So that helicopter must have been Russian.
Yeah, but it was Russian.
Oh, boy.
And there was no substantiated fact. I said, well, what kind was it? You know, was it a Hind D? You know, what was it? Well, it was Russian. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay, fine. And I know I'm not going to hang around you people anymore.
Lord, save us from the sheeple. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578 is the number. And by the way, when we're not on the air, that's our fax number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper, I'd like to take a moment to just say thank you very much for your treason documents. They worked out very well for me here. It's $80 very well spent. Now, you've made the statement over and over again, whoever fires the first shot loses. Now, we in Southern California were... hearing a lot about Dean Compton and the coalition of Christian militias going to the southern borders February 1st to stop the flow of illegal immigrants.
Well, let me stop you right there. A Christian militia is an illegal organization and does not represent the body of the people. It is not constitutional, nor is it legal. It is, in fact, a private religious army and has no standing whatsoever.
That's very well stated. This is something that should be concerning all of us at this point. This is a setup, I believe, right?
It's exactly what it looks like. And from our investigation, there isn't enough people in the so-called Christian militia to man 1 mile of the border.
Okay. Well, I thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night. Remember, folks, you have to be legal, constitutional. You have to be lawful, not only with the laws of the Union, but the laws of your state. If you have a Christian militia, you have formed a private army that represents a church. It does not represent the body politic. It does not represent the people. It is illegal, unlawful, and in my estimation, extremely stupid, unless you find your church particularly targeted and attacked, in which case I would say form your militia. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, howdy, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Bob from San Antonio. I've got a question. What you said, and I appreciate that about the media, but y'all have this vast database, if you will, on all these different people. How does a regular, you know, person like myself and others go about, you know, digging all this stuff out as to, you know, who these people really are?
Who what people really are?
Like media bypass.
Very simple. You know, my grandmother taught me at an early age, and I really thank her for it, because this particular trait is missing in the American people today. It's called common sense. If you read something, anything, like the article that I was reading to you last night,
right,
and you go through it, and it contradicts itself. For instance, in the beginning of the article, he talks about this five-man computer team of the CIA that's cracking open these bank accounts and pulling out this money. And later on, he talks about if the team exists and nobody knows who they are and all this kind of stuff. I mean, if you can't figure that article is full of crap just by that one particular contradiction, then you're lacking in common sense.
Okay, I agree with you there.
Most of these things are easy to check. Most of them won't pass the common sense test. And when they don't pass the common sense test, they're not going to pass any test.
Okay. Well, like, for example, what you mentioned about the resistor, I caught on to that right away because I realized that, you know, once they appeared on, was it 60 Minutes or whatever?
Once they have an internet address, once they have a post office box, once they have a telephone number, they're caught. And if they haven't been caught, then that's Trojan horse. That's a trap for you.
Let me ask you this quickly, Bill. Is it possible to get data on people through y'all? There's a popular talk show host down here that I think is another Tom Valentine. But I don't have any way of proving or disproving it.
If you were a member of the intelligence service, yes, you would be able to get information on people.
But if you're not, you can't.
If you're not, you can't. No, if not through us. We disseminate information of a tactical and of a general informational nature and a projection of what we believe, according to investigation and facts and provable sources, of what is going to happen is disseminated to our units, and where we have intelligence service members in other units, it's disseminated through those units.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
And that's it, folks. Good night. Please, screw your heads on straight. And Mr. Hewlett, if you can screw your head on straight and become a real leader, we'll support you. If you can't, we're going to do everything in our power to replace you. And that goes for any other militia leader in this country. You're either going to be a part of the solution or you're a part of the problem. And if you're a part of the problem, the Second Continental Army, the Republic, is going to do everything in its power to replace you. God bless you all.
yellow moon, blue, red, and a chain, two pad and a beat won't go to sleep. I've been running through all these promises to you that I made that I could not keep. I put a man's nipples on a woman's back, not by begging on your knees. But I crawl to your baby and I fall at your feet, and I howl at your beauty like a dog in heat, and I claw at your heart and I tear at your sheet. I say, please. Now